I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
The Best in the World podcast with Richard Parr.
Hello and welcome to The Best in the World with Richard Parr. Every single Thursday I speak to a world champion, an Olympic champion, a world record holder or a world number one to find out what they do differently from the rest of us to be the very best. We get actionable insight and tools from these sporting champions. And these are things that we can use in our own sporting endeavours or in our everyday life, such as what we do in our job or in our business or even raising our families. It's all in this incredible podcast. We've spoken to over 100 champions, and this week we're speaking to another Winter Olympic champion because they are going on right now in Pyeongchang. It's been a week already of the games in South Korea. If you'd like to discuss what you've enjoyed the most so far at the games, join in the discussion on our Facebook group. It's called Best in the World. I'll put a link to it on this show notes page to this podcast where you can further the conversation. And we like to talk about a variety of things beyond the Olympics. We like to talk about the topics that we cover here, things such as mindset, training, nutrition, morning routine, and we like to have a discussion about it, and we like to lead other people to different sources and different podcasts and writing and information all around this topic. So please join in the Facebook group Best in the World with Richard Parr. Now, this podcast comes out on a Thursday, and on the 16th of February, so that's tomorrow, or it's in the past if you're listening to this after that, but it is the Women's Snowboard Cross Final at the Winter Olympics of 2018, and so it is a perfect time for me to put out this interview with the 2006 champion, Tanya Frieden. Tanya is a fantastic guest, and I mentioned actionable tools, and Tanya is brilliant on a specific tool that I'd never heard of before. Certainly not the phrase given to it, certainly not the name of it. Some of the way that it's done I've come across, but not kind of producted it as this one name called logosynthesis. So Tanya explains exactly what that is all about. It's all to do with removing blockages. I'm not going to tell you any more than that. You're going to have to listen to find out what exactly that means. But Tanya explains all of that because she is now a performance coach for sports people and also for business people, having now retired from snowboarding, where she was the snowboard cross champion from the 2006 Torino Olympics. And we cover a lot of things, as well as logosynthesis. She briefly talks about another tool called EFT. She talks about her life after sports. She also talks about her journey to becoming the champion in 2006, and then also what she changed leading into the next campaign for 2010, and then also the heartbreak of getting a big injury before those games in Vancouver, in particular her Achilles, so she was unable to compete. So it's a really good interview with Tanya, and she also just goes through that 2006 final, which I'll try and put a YouTube link to it because it's pretty amazing. She is in second place behind Lindsay Yacobellis, who then falls on the penultimate jump, and I'll let Tanya pick up the story there because it's amazing to get her insight on what happened in that final. So come on then, let's get to it. Let's get straight into it with the Olympic snowboard cross champion from the 2006 Games, Tanya Frieden.
The Best in the World podcast with Richard Parr.
Tanya Frieden, welcome to The Best in the World with Richard Parr, an Olympic champion in snowboarding, snowboard cross from 2006. It's so great to speak to you on this program. I've heard you've had a pretty early start today.
Yeah. Hi, Richard. Thanks to have me at your special podcast. Yeah, I had an early start. I was starting my day at 5:30 for the first meeting. Yeah, I have lots of projects in my head. I'm a mom since 2 years, so I'm working. I have 3 days to work, but at least 100% to cover. So if you make the math, you're going to figure out that you have to start the day early. Plus, I like to do a few different things, but that means also you need to start early in the day.
What is your typical morning routine like, Tanya?
Well, something that's really a routine. I don't like to get up that early. If I can choose, I really love to start getting up at 7 and start working at 8. That would be the perfect match. And I have porridge every single morning. Because porridge gives me the right power to go through the day. And I had that. I started that kind of when we did like trainings on glaciers in Zermatt or Saas-Fee, Switzerland, because then it's so cold and you need to have the power through the day, and porridge gives me that. And it's simple to make. You just pour hot water over the porridge thing and off you go.
I like putting a bit of almond milk personally.
Yeah, actually, if I have so. Well, there are a few varieties. I love to put fruits in there and almond milk or some cream. Almond cream, that's even better.
So you say work. Obviously, you're most famous for being an Olympic champion in snowboarding. So what have you been up to since you retired from the sport?
Well, I have, in general scene, I have two hats, if you want to call it. So I'm working as, I'm independent, and I'm working as a coach for personal development for either sports people or business. So that's one thing. And the other part, I'm president of an association called, which works for gosnow.ch, works bring the kids back on snow. There I'm president at 30%, but mainly I have my own business since 10 years now.
Fantastic. And I was looking at your website before our interview, and you mentioned your coaching there. And I know one of the things that you do is mental training, and you've got various different methods that you mentioned on your website, such as healthy language, removing blockages, visualization, relaxation, posture expression, and achieving an optimum state of performance flow. And we've kind of covered most of those at some point throughout the hundreds or so episodes we've done on The Best in the World with Richard Parr, but I'd never heard of removing blockages. Logosynthesis and EFT, can you tell us a bit about that, please?
There are two different methods, and logosynthesis, personally, I did all the performances or the studies about that. I used it personally in 2005, 1 year before the Olympics. Yeah. I met first time that method, which can really, basically it's Einstein. Is he known in your country as well? The scientific
Albert Einstein.
Albert Einstein. Yes.
E equals MC squared.
Exactly. It's based on his knowledge, though. It's either energy is either blocked somewhere or it's free, and logosynthesis is, among others, as you mentioned as well, a tool to take away the blockages you have, beliefs. There are so many beliefs we have in life that's holding us back. And I learned, or if you had a bad experience, which has happened often, either you had a failure or an injury, you had a fall, or you had an operation, or whatever, you had bad feelings in your body, or pictures you have, you kind of have to remove that. And Logosynthesis is basically a tool that uses energy that is blocked and neutralizing that blocked energy and bringing it into your body again, so you can use it for further missions or goals you have. That means logosynthesis is two words. Logo means the word, and synthesis means bringing together. So by the method of using three sentences, actually, you can free beliefs, blockages, or whatever, and bring them back into your system. That sounds quite complicated, but in fact super easy and efficient. And I love to have efficient tools, because in sports I had a failure one day and I had to be ready the next day. And this tool I met first time 1 year before the Olympics. And now I went on, and since then I did master degree in that. So I'm using it for clients, whether it's in sport or it's in business. It's just an easy way of taking blockages or beliefs away from you. I had, to give you an example, I had a woman. She was high up in her business, but her self-confidence wasn't really that big, not accurate to what her level in the business was. And so her belief was all the time a little bit, I'm not good enough. And even though all the environment told her it's not that like that, or even her career doesn't seem to be good enough, or versus her belief, I'm not good enough. But so this belief, whenever it's stuck in there, and even though people tell you from outside, not like that, it's in you. And I often talk about that's your gut feeling, and either the whole life tells you other stuff, this feeling is stuck in you. And logosynthesis is basically a tool that can remove or neutralize, I'm rather talking about neutralizing, this belief. And so when this belief is away, you have more agility to think other ways. Yeah, I'm maybe capable to do this. So the way to step forward, to overcome that hurdle that keeps you back, this tool is just amazing. And it's so efficient. You can kind of erase or neutralize beliefs that you have in life that are holding you back, or you can let go of these beliefs in a very short time.
You said three sentences there. Are they specific sentences, or are they ones which are appropriate per person?
No, they're always the same sentences. But you need to find the trigger. One sentence, I hope I can bring it back in English right away. It's like, I take all my energy that they're connected to this belief. And then you say you believe, whether it's I'm not good enough or whatever it is, on the right space back in myself. And this sounds ridiculous, doesn't it?
But if it works, that's...
No, it's one sentence of threes, and we could go through a thing here by thinking if you would think about a person that takes energy away. You know, I love to talk about energy eaters, because we meet them day by day. It can be like a person that is close to you that kind of said something wrong, or we have all these energy eaters all day long. And so it's really scientific proof. It's nothing like hocus pocus, or would you say, and many people all over the world are working with that system. And it's just by far something in my 15 years of career that I used, and it really helped to let go of things that are unnecessary for you. So there are three sentences, and the most important thing is to find the right trigger, whether it's a belief, it's a picture, it's kind of a movie you have in your mind. Maybe you have met people, or even you have self saying like, oh, I always keep thinking about that picture in my head. Mm. Have you met that situation in your life?
I haven't specifically used it, but I've got particular moments which kind of inspire me, if that's where we're going.
Yeah, inspire, or if you take the opposite, like if you have an accident. Me, for example, I had the accident, and some people have stuck the picture of the impact are stuck in their mind. You know, I always keep on thinking on that. And this is also something that can hold, talking about sports now, that can hold you back of going off the next huge jump that can be 60 meters, because this picture that is still stuck in your mind can remind you of the day where you had the accident, and it can hold you back to let the last 10% to perform well. Mm. You know what I mean? And this is also a picture you can neutralize by using logosynthesis. And it sounds easy to find the right trigger. That's the hard part. But then when you found that with the three senses, it's pretty easy.
I want to get on to EFT in just a moment. But you mentioned there that you started this in 2005. Can you just talk a little bit about that experience of what you were doing wrong and what you then did right and the results that it showed around then?
Yeah, if you 4 years before the Olympics already, I was border cross was first time in the Olympics, and that meant a lot to us, all of the athletes that wanted to go there. So, and then we were talking, me and my coach that back then were talking about, okay, what would the goal be? And for me, it was kind of clear. I was dreaming about winning. Well, I was focusing about winning a medal. I was dreaming about gold. But saying it with my own words, okay, I will be Olympic champion in 2006. When I said this sentence, this took me quite a while to be able to say that sentence and believing it. Just saying and having all these thoughts, oh, why me? Oh, there are tons of others. You know, these doubts you have if you think about big goals, and, you know, each of that, all the athletes will fulfill that as well. So all these doubts, I had to conquer those ones because they were holding me back. And so I had also doubt of why exactly me? And there are some others that are good as well. So this kind of doubt thing, maybe it's a typically female situation, but I think all the other guys have it too, but they maybe not show it that much.
I think it's for everyone, really. I think we all have doubt.
Yeah, exactly. And these doubts, these are the ones you can conquer with logosynthesis. Then bring, you have to don't tell, I always tell people, don't tell doubts to your people, your peers that want to achieve the same thing, but maybe to the people you work with. In my world, that was my family, my coach, and I had these doubts, and then you put out these doubts and you can neutralize it. By the fact, it was really like when I was thinking about being gold medalist at the Olympics, it was like I was starting sweating or having this bit heartbeat or doubts in my head, like a bee house and stuff like that. And these are all kinds of things that, you know, bee house in the head, or maybe a hard time to swallow or sweating on the arms. These are all signs that, you know, there is a blockages or this doubt feeling, and this you can conquer by neutralizing it. At the end, you can say the sentence, I'm Olympic gold medal, and you start feeling the pride, the situation, how it would be if this is going to happen. And there you can build up a feeling that it's already there, having the win already imagined, that you everyday life you feel that how it will be, and this is a huge trigger to really fulfill accomplish goals.
Fantastic. And we'll cover all about the moment you accomplish your goal of becoming Olympic champion in just a moment. Just wanted to get you just to explain what EFT is for us and how that works as well, please.
Yeah, with EFT, I work less now. This is kind of also, I was always looking for some tools that would, because in sports, you have failure one day and you have to go up to the start the next day. So I needed some tools that are super efficient and tools that I can use myself, because I didn't bring all the way the coaches, the mental coaches all the way to wherever I was in life and in sports. And I'm convinced that all the best coaches in the world are within you. So it's just a matter of what kind of tool can I use. And EFT is one like used by tapping. We have some points in your body like the what's that in English? You put needles, acupuncture. They're also using those points, but you can use those points also in situations of fear, of doubt, of panic or whatever. So I also used that tool to, at the moment of a start, or if you feel like, oh, my self-confidence is low, that you use that tool by tapping. It's, in fact, it works also on Albert Einstein's situation. Energy is either blocked somewhere or it's free. And this is all about that. So EFT is just another tool to help you to liberate the energy for whatever your vision, mission, whatever you want to call it in life, or your goal you want to have. So EFT is by tapping some points mainly in your face or on your arms and your hands. But I realized that that tool is way more complicated to use than compared to logosynthesis. I used it also, but for myself, but with other clients now, or with sport people or people from business, logosynthesis is way easier because you can talk about things and I just can say, are you ready for an experience? And then you go with the three sentence and they don't even know what it is for. Sometimes some people, I explain it before, or you can get a book where it's described what it does, and then you're off, and the people can learn to use that tool in 1.5 days for themselves. And that, I think, it's just wonderful.
Fantastic. That's absolutely fascinating. Thank you so much for that. I'm definitely going to look up a little bit more about logosynthesis myself.
Yeah, it's kind of unreal. I just today I had a client this morning and it was like, I feel much lighter. It feels like I can breathe more, but this can't be, this problem can't be gone by now. I said, you know, like logosynthesis works like a salami. You know, salami, you don't eat the whole salami once, but you slice it up in slices, and slice by slice, the slice you have cut down is gone. And this is just, sometimes it's unreal to understand how fast things can go away.
Yeah. And I think that's a bit like everything, isn't it? You have to take everything step by step.
Exactly.
And then hopefully you'll get there. And,
very true.
And you got your big goal in the end of becoming an Olympic champion. But how did you first get started in snowboarding, and where did this interest come from?
I'm kind of rebel. You say rebel as well in English, yep. Actually. I'm always, you know, in the beginning of snowboarding, because when I started, it was kind of a new thing in Europe as well. And I like to try out, I'm still a very, very curious person. And I love to go new ways, and ways that are maybe a bit strange, like logosynthesis as well, even though in scientific proof. But, you know, so I came from athletics, actually. So I had my physics were in a good state, and then snowboarding came up. I was passionate skier before, and I just loved the way, the playful part of snowboarding, to go on the board. And then I found some friends, and there were this Reacher Cup, like small competitions, and we went there because we could win gear. Whether back then I didn't have the possibility to buy new stuff, so we rather went and had a good competition and took the wins, a new board and new goggles or stuff like that. That was actually the way the reason why we started in our community, which is as well known. Willy Kestenholz, he's a neighbor of me. He's also ex gay medalist and also an Olympic champion. He got third in Nagano and stuff like that. So we kind of used our community to have fun, to push each other to higher limits. And that's how it started. And soon enough, I realized, like, oh, I would love to see how far I can go with the sport. And in one way, also helping to develop the sport, because development is in my nature, that I love to bring something further. And so I saw myself, then I also was studying in the same time to become a teacher. But soon, as the in 97, I finished the studies for being a teacher, and the same year I got the license for the World Cup. So for me,
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
It was clear as the sun that I wanted to start in the World Cup, and there I went on to fulfill those hurdles or become better and better. And I had in total before the Olympics like 29 podiums or something, and which are unknown because half of my career I started for Norway. And so in Switzerland, other countries, or if you put my name in Wikipedia, it's not even right what's there. Yep. So there, the fascinating thing was for me to just go on how it was, because like I said before, the sport wasn't Olympic before, but still I had my mini goals in between, whether it was a World Cup, then it was X Games, which was as far before Olympics were happening, that was the biggest goal, to get some medals from X Games, you know, they were always held in Aspen. I guess they still are now. So, that was my drive to become better and better. And as you said, step by step, not having this big, I never was a person that was like, I'm dreaming about being Olympic champion. I never was this person. I just went step by step.
What were you going to teach? Was there a specific subject?
No, I had the general license, let's call it like this, in Switzerland. And I was teaching, that was my way to sponsor my career in snowboarding, because I was teaching, no matter what kind of job I found as being a teacher, I took it to generate in summer month money to go and snowboard during autumn and winter. So my passion there is as well. I always love to bring kids further on their personal life. I never was focused so much on the subject, whether it's math or French or German or whatever. My passion was really to help to form or help to liberate or bring kids in their mindset, hey, just go and do whatever your passion is. Find your passion and go for it. And even if I find kids on the street, sometimes they come, you were my teacher back then. And yeah, I remember this and that. And it's never about the subject, but it's always like, yeah, you gave me such interesting, you were such a, you said it earlier, inspiration. And this is for me the biggest money, let's say, or the biggest payback I can get. If I can help to inspire people, this is really my passion.
The Best in the World podcast with Richard Parr.
We'll be back with Tanya in just a moment, but I mentioned earlier about trying to build a community on the Best in the World group page on Facebook. Another place we're trying to do that also is on Patreon. Patreon is a crowdfunding platform, and it's one of the ways we're looking to get income to continue to produce this podcast. As you can guess, it takes a lot of time to do, getting all of these great guests, interviewing them, doing the show notes, editing the piece, publishing it. It takes a lot of work, and frankly, we need a bit more money to keep this going. And if you can do so, if you can help us out, please head to our Patreon page, which is patreon.com/bestintheworld. And as I mentioned there, it is a social place, so I will give extra information, We will have discussions about what's going on the show, all on that Patreon page. So go and check it out, patreon.com/bestintheworld. Even if you can just afford $5 a month, it really would help go quite a long way for us here to do this podcast. And you get benefits for it as well. And they're all explained on that Patreon page. The more you obviously contribute, the more you get out of it as well. So if you can do that, I'd be mightily, mightily grateful. And let's return to the conversation with the Olympic snowboard champion, Tanya Frieden.
The Best in the World podcast with Richard Parr.
I'm glad that we can correct your Wikipedia now and we can get straight to the heart of the source here, because you're Swiss and I know your mother's Norwegian. So did you say you represented Norway and Switzerland, is that right?
Yeah, the first 8 years of my career, I guess 8 years or something, I started for Norway. I was with Terry Håkonsen, all those cool guys. I was in their gang, and I'm now starting under the Norwegian flag. And then I switched over because of the media and the communication. It was easier in Switzerland because I lived most of my time in Switzerland. So, but I had this both opportunities, and I never started on for both flag in the same time. A European vice champion, I got under Norwegian flag.
Mm.
Yeah.
And you speak Norwegian, German, French, and English. Is that right?
Yeah, Swedish and Norwegian are almost the same. And I understand a bit of a Spanish thing I do, and Italian if I have to. I just talk in infinitive, but I can go along if I go and travel, because I love to talk to people.
And we love listening to you, as we're doing here on the podcast. So let's talk about Torino. Let's talk about Turin 2006. I watched back the race today. Tell us about that day and what was going through your mind during the race, please, Tanya.
Yeah, well, I have to go a bit further back before the day, because
sure.
The fact was, like, I did everything. Back then I was together with Seth Westcott. Maybe you've heard the name, because he won the Olympics one day before me, and we were a couple back then. And we always had this goal in our mind too. He was one day, he came up with me to me, said, like, Tanya, why aren't we not going to win together Torino? And I'm like, are you crazy? But he has this, you know, the Americans, they have this rock star gene way more than we Swiss people have. So I was like, at one point I was like, yeah, that would be cool. Anyway, so he won the day before me, which was amazing. But the night before my race, I didn't sleep not one single minute. I was so stressed anyway, because the pre-Olympics and all what's happening around for the preparation. And then I anyway had sleeping problems before. And so I didn't sleep one minute. I got up in the morning. I said to my coach, I said, hey, I didn't sleep one minute, but don't you tell that to anybody. I don't want to have their advantage in my way. I went up to the start, and somehow my coach, he used to be Burton team coach back in the old days. And he said, Tanya, I have a good feeling you're going to get your medal, but don't. It's not important how you are going to make it. And by that second, he gave me that look, and I was like, are you kidding me? You can say that so easy. I have this whole job in front of me, and it's so stressful. But I somehow could feel it as well. I had this feeling like, this is my day. And this feeling I just had three times in my whole career, this feeling of you have to head down, go through it, do your job as good as it gets, but everything is on your side. And so I went to the start and did the qualification run. I ended up fourth, with the fourth best qualification time. And then in the heat, back in the heat, I could feel, I felt like a tiger. I knew, like, I'm going to do everything what it takes to get one of these medals. I was really like going for the medals. And like I said earlier, I did a lot of mental training to get the gold medal. I was dreaming about it. I was talking to myself every single day about that, but But at the end, everything needs to come together. As if you've seen the border cross, it was like this, whoa, how could that happen? How could she fall in front? Lindsay Jacobellis, which is an amazing athlete, I have lots of respect of her for technical side. She is amazing. And I hope she's going to go for the medal this year. And she was much younger. I had maybe less experience. And I had this failure of losing the focus in the very last jump. I had this experience before. And also knew that Lindsay Jacobellis is known as a person that takes herself out of a race by losing focus. I never really got why she wasn't working on that. But this is not my problem. But in fact, I went to the start, and then I had to go through two heats. And when it came to the last heat, I was really like, so now we are four, and we were really the numbers out of the first rounds, number one till four. So the four fastest lady of the day were in the final heat, and that alone was pretty amazing. And I knew like there are three medals and I'm going to fight for it. And I really felt like an unleashed tiger. And then I went off, and I just knew I was taking speed on, and Lindsay Jacobellis was in first, I was in second place, and then I knew I wanted to overtake her. And if you see back the race, focus on, I think, turn number four, because that's where I touch, we have a board touching, which is accelerating her and stopping me.
I saw that, yeah.
And lots of people that don't know border cross, haven't seen that. They were just amazed already by the, oh, they're riding 4x4. You know, it's just wasn't enough entertaining. And if you see that very moment, I knew like, Tanya, now you have to go as high as possible because everybody's going to try to overtake you, because highest line is always fastest. And that was actually the point where Lindsay got so much acceleration and I got speed down. And then I did the high, which ended up that some others went into the fence, and I did everything in one card. And when actually I came over the second last jump where Lindsay did the mistake, I wasn't focused on that. Everybody think like, oh, what went through your mind? And no, I wasn't, because that I knew I'm not at the end yet. And exactly the same thing of losing focus can happen to me. So somehow you register what's happening around you. That's anyway what border cross is all about. You register stuff, but then you have to focus again until you're at the end. And for me, it was just coming over the last jump there, where 10 meters before the end, I realized, okay, that's it. And if I could have signed before for the silver medal, I would probably have done that anyway. But then I also learned in my career that it's never finished before it's finished. And yeah, when actually I came through the finish area, it was just, I mean, I was jumping in the finish area. My whole body was just one thing, a bundle of joy and luck, you know. So I couldn't stop jumping, I guess, already on the podium. It's just like going up and down. Yeah.
And did life change now that you were an Olympic gold medalist?
Yeah. It changed, and somehow it changed completely. In the other way, it didn't change at all. In some way, this Olympic medal got me tons of opportunity, but it also, it's always sticking you back in this pocket of Olympian, in this pocket of sports.com. Not more than that. You know, it's opening things, but it also stigmatizing. Is that the right word in English?
You get
reduced somehow on just that, especially in Switzerland, because sports doesn't necessarily have the same brilliance or the same history like in other countries. But in fact, yeah, it changed. The people were in fact listening to me, and since, as I said earlier, I love to inspire people, I got the platform for doing that, or more credibility or more audience to do what I love to do, and that's really to help people achieve to get their gold medal. And this doesn't necessarily need to be from the five rings, you know, as I talk about Olympic, but to fulfill, to get their dreams, to fulfill their goals in personal life. And I think that's the way bigger achievement.
Unfortunately, you weren't able to defend that title at Vancouver in 2010. You were injured with an Achilles injury, I believe. Just tell us about that process, what happened, and when you actually decided that this was it, I was going to retire from the sport.
Yeah, this is... I have to say that the second circle of Olympics was for me really, I wanted to change everything, to change the way I train, to not defend it, but to win it new. This is a completely different other mindset, I believe, because defending is something, not attacking for it, but going backwards. So I wanted to go new ways. And
why? So, why? Because wouldn't you try and do what you did before? Why did you want to change that?
Yeah, because I believe if you're trying to keep status, you're not advancing in few different ways. And that's why I took the good stuff and tried to reproduce it in a new way. I changed my training in some sorts, and I got way stronger. I came way stronger back. And I kept the good things, but I built it up, because I also said, like, I don't want to work repeating my work, which I have done the last 4 years. I want to learn on the personal level many, many, many new things, because I know life is also, I also have a life afterwards. And I think it's for me, it's all about adventures. Even though it goes around the Olympics, I love an adventure. I'm an adventurous type, and I want to have new ways, because I think you're way more alert on lots of different systems when you have the adventurous thinking. And that's why I got way stronger back. The situation that I had this accident just 2 weeks before the Olympics, well, I worked 4 years for the Olympics, and I can say truly that I know both sides of the medals. One time it went everything were going like I've dreamt about it when I won it, and 4 years I were working for it, and 2 weeks before it actually went, everything shattered in pieces. And that alone, having after that injury I had, I broke both Achilles tendon, I broke both bones in the feet, and deluxated my shoulder, and I was 3 months in a wheelchair. But this time, seeing in retrospective, was so fulfilling. Not the system, being in the wheelchair, and knowing also my ex-boyfriend by then, Seth Westcott, won it again. So it is possible to go back to back. And I was really, I was the first one being able to talk to him by the phone. It was amazing to see that. But knowing, like, I didn't get the chance, this was heartbreaking. This is really heartbreaking. But I also learned that in the 15 years of career, I learned to let go of things. And there we are again, where we started. It's really important to live the moment and to work with things that are holding you back, because they don't bring you everywhere, nowhere. Worrying is like a rocking chair. It keeps you moving, but it doesn't bring you everywhere. And that's worrying about if things wouldn't go right, why didn't I achieve that? A very short time, I had that period of being sad. And I think it's really important to have that, I call it pig face, where you turn yourself in the mud and think you're the poorest on earth. But then you have to go on and say, okay, what's next? And I realized that I was pretty strong in doing that, because 3 months in a wheelchair gave me so many opportunity to have realizations in life, which I probably haven't had if I wouldn't go through that phase.
Amazing. And what does snowboarding mean to you now then, Tanya?
For me, it's more picking the nice and excellent days. It's still an element. I love snow. I love the snowboarding. It's still something playful. And I also love that it has new sides of being playful on the board, not going because you have to, but just picking the days where you think, like, ah, this is amazing, so much powder. And especially being the free ride part of it, I try to push and be more in the free nature, being in mountains. That gives me such a strength and such good energy back. So all the magic days in the mountains. Yesterday I was in the mountains. The snow wasn't so great, but it was just so cold, and all the trees were crystal white. And this is just one turn in good snow. It's just it's worth to do that, and it's amazing. And now a new chapter is opening. My little son, 2 years, stood his first time on the snowboard himself, just going straight. But this is a new chapter, and it's amazing as well.
Oh, wow. Have we got a new potential Olympic champion there then?
I don't know. No. This is too much. I always hated to watch other competing and imagine my sons doing that crazy thing. I think like, oh, how crazy could I have been doing that if I see people doing water cross now, because it's quite risky. And yeah, maybe not. Maybe, I don't know. It's on him to choose.
Oh, well, we'll wait and see. If he does make it, we'd love to have him on the podcast as well as a future Olympic champion. That would be great. Well, it's been really good to speak to you, Tanya. Before you go, can you let us know where we can continue to follow your journey and where we can get in touch with you if we want to get some coaching or some mentoring or anything else that you're up to, please?
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm on the way of remodeling my website because the things that are on there are, it's nothing wrong, but I do much other things now. And this, I'm just in the year planning of doing some workshops in English as well and in other countries as well. And it's on www.tanyafrieden.ch or on office@tanyafrieden.ch if you want to send me a mail. But that's, everything is on my website.
Perfect. I'll make sure we put a link to it when the podcast goes up on the show notes page. Tanya Frieden, thank you for being on the podcast and thank you for being the best in the world.
Yeah, thank you very much. You're the best in the world.
The Best in the World podcast with Richard Parr.
Lovely stuff there from Tanya. Obviously, with the Winter Olympics going on at the moment, a lot of our podcasts are around the winter sports. So if you haven't listened already, please go back and hear my conversation with Stefan Grootheus, who's a former speed skating Olympic champion. And also before that, I spoke to Dominic Gisen, who is also a Winter Olympic champion in skiing. Now, we've also spoken to quite a few snowboarders in the past as well. I really enjoyed my conversation with JCJ Anderson. Patricia Kuma's been on the show. Kelly Clark has been on the podcast. They have all been on The Best in the World with Richard Parr. So go back and listen to all of those previous episodes. They're available at acast.com/best. We're also on Apple Podcasts, formerly known as iTunes. I still call it iTunes, but it's Apple Podcasts. We're on Stitcher. We're on Podbean, I believe, now. I've recently added us to that. And, of course, we're at sportacino.com. That is the home of The Best in the World with Richard Parr podcast. It's also the place to go for sports and high performance. That is going to be your home for all of that. It's going to be developed as we go in the next few weeks and months. So that is it for this week's Best in the World with Richard Parr. I've got another amazing guest for you coming up next week. It's a former Winter Olympic champion. And you know, I'll give you a little heads up who it is in the Best in the World group and also in the Patreon page, patreon.com/bestintheworld. If you get into those, you can get an idea of who the guest will be next week. Otherwise, you'll just have to wait until next Thursday to listen to the latest episode of The Best in the World with Richard Parr. Until then, goodbye.
The Best in the World podcast with Richard Parr.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.